We had a Zoom with all the NFL executives in the offseason, kind of getting us ready for the regular season. And I was told that the schedule makers particularly brought up NFL Red Zone this year and said, we cannot have any two-game late windows. So if you look through the schedule, which I've got it not memorized, but I've got it right in front of me, the lowest number we'll have in the late window is three. There are many weeks that have four games or five games in the late window. They did us a solid two-game late window for Red Zone purposes is death.
Scott Hansen of Red Zone.
Let's go. That's huge.
That is...
As a frequent Red Zone flyer. The 4 o'clock window when there's the one game everybody's watching, and then, hey, I'm watching Red Zone. What do I get for that?
Raiders, Chargers.
All right, I get to watch the Broncos a little bit more than everybody else. Sweet.
Yeah, I like that news. As a good Sunday Ticket subscriber, I did re-up for Sunday Ticket this year, and one of the things that sold me was the quad box where you can pick the games and put them where you want them.
Mm-hmm.
And in the afternoon window, the quad box, sometimes you'd only have two games or three games to fill. So, all right, good.
Well, if you want the quad box for the 4 o'clock window in week one, you will only have four games.
That's fine.
Your four games will be Raiders at Chargers.
All right, let me rank them in my interest. Okay, go ahead.
Raiders at Chargers. Broncos at Seahawks.
All right, I'm more interested in Raiders, Chargers.
Cowboys at Browns.
That's number one.
That's the Brady game.
It is.
And then Commanders at Buccaneers.
All right.
Is Cowboys, Browns number one?
It is number one, yeah.
That's a pretty good game. It's two playoff teams from last year. It's Brady's first game. Although, how much will you hear Brady, I guess, if you're watching Red Zone?
If you're watching Quad Box or Red Zone, not that much.
Well, if you're doing Quad Box, though, you pick which game is the audio,
right? That's right, that's right.
So you could listen to Brady while watching all four games.
That's great though that they made a point to say, hey, we have a lot invested. We have a Red Zone. Can we have more games in the afternoon? And the NFL, you know, helping diversify that a little bit, because sometimes the 1 o'clock window you'd have seven games,
right,
and two in the afternoon,
right.
All right, I'm into that. Good.
Shouldn't the week one be this week? We need a whole week in between.
You want week one to be Labor Day, basically. Labor Day weekend?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Hypothetically, if they go to 18 games, isn't this the opener? Don't they move it up? They can't move deeper into February, can they?
They actually should move deeper into February because I think they need to line it up. I think if it were me, I would line it up so that the Super Bowl was the day before President's Day. Everyone's off the next day.
Yeah, okay.
Go to Labor Day to President's Day. There you go.
But if I'm looking at...
Oh, wait, no, I don't need Labor Day. No, yeah, I would need it because I would be adding a week of football and I'd be adding a bye week. So I need to add two weeks of football,
one
which
each
means
way.
I'm gonna expand on one end and get me to President's Day. I'm going to expand on the other end to have me... So week one...
Is now.
And Labor Day is Monday. And then the Super Bowl ends and everyone's off the next day.
Yeah.
Not everybody, but more people.
No, we would work.
We would work.
But that's fine.
If you work at a bank, you'd be off, though.
That's right. Okay. I guess there's not really much controversy there because we just discovered we'd move it one week in each direction.
Yes. Although, I guess for my sake here, like, what's my problem here is that I've got a week in between the preseason and the regular season with no football. And I guess they'd be eliminating a preseason game.
Right. You'd still have that
So week. I'd still have that week. It just would have been last week.
The thing I thought of initially was... Where do I want another game? All right, we've added two weeks, so one in each direction. This point is moot. But if we were expanding 1 week, I want one more week when it's nice out, as opposed to another week of...
You could do that if you want.
...of blizzards and 26 below, which doesn't have to be a huge problem for the NFL. But, I mean, the Bills just had a playoff game moved because of weather by a day. And in Kansas City, there were calls for player safety, and they should cancel the game, blah, blah, blah. Who knows
There were fans from that game that lost, like fingers. Like,
right.
Like, yeah, it was
you
bad.
You wonder if the NFL, given the choice, wants... Right, I guess the question would be, would you instead move the regular season up two full weeks?
Do you want... Right, so you want the season to start in August?
August.
You could do that. You could say, scrap my President's Day idea and just you start the regular season in August.
I mean, we love football. Are we going to be upset about that? Who's upset? College football? It doesn't get its little runway to get us started, or is college football just follow suit and move up earlier?
Football all year round. Everything gets out of the way for the NFL.
That's right.
Everything gets. If the NFL wants it, the NFL will take it. The NFL's playing a Friday game next week. Didn't forever they say they would never play Friday games because of high school football? I guess it's in Brazil, so they're not. They're maybe looking for a workaround here, but like there they are. They're playing a Friday game in 9 days. So everything would get out of the way for them, I think. If they wanted to play in the middle of August, it'd be a little warmer, but yeah, I bet there would be some fans that would prefer that. Prefer that to my President's Day idea of, hey, give me one or even two extra warm weather games. Because that's what you would be getting.
Yeah.
The weather you had for Bills and Panthers on Saturday, or even Bills Bears in week one, like it would be similar enough. Like those are two good weather games, right?
Usually, if they're not too hot.
Yeah, so again, there's a benefit to that too.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Jeremy and Joe with you here on WGR. 8 days from the start of the season, we will see Chiefs and Ravens to open up. Last year was Chiefs and Lions, and that did end up being...
It was a good game.
It was a good game, and it showed us two teams that were worthy. You know, the Lions in that spot, it was a little bit of, okay, this team is definitely on the rise, but do they deserve opening night? And they went to the NFC Championship game and should have won it, probably.
They kind of went out on a limb putting the Lions in that game, and the Lions answered the bell.
They did.
And that game, I mean, they win the game.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Kadarius Toney game, right?
What did he do in that game?
He had two drops that were both interceptions,
yeah.
And one of which I think went back for a pick six.
That's right.
Brian, where like the ball, the second one to the ball, the pick six is like he is uncovered. It's just right to him, and he tips the ball up in the air, and it's back the other way.
The Bills had one of those. Micah Hyde had a pick six where Tyreek Hill had hit his hands, and he took it back for a pick six.
Okay.
And the game they win at Arrowhead where they blow out the Chiefs.
Okay.
A couple years back.
That was a good one last year. The Chiefs. Get me out of the Chiefs in the opening game every single year. That's another thing about them winning the Super Bowl that I guess can get tiring is they've got to open every season because they win the Super Bowls.
Which team should we have our eyes on the most?
In week one or in general?
In general, if you are a Bills fan watching the league, we started this conversation talking like red zone. You are a Bills fan watching the league this year, and you get to watch one other team. Who is the team you would be focusing on the most? I'm not sure. I don't necessarily want to ask like who you want to watch, because that just might be, I want to watch the Bears. They might be interesting.
Right.
But who should the Bills have their eyes on the most right now?
Right. One eye on your own game, one eye on blank.
Is it the Jets?
The Jets. That's my answer. It's absolutely the Jets. The variance with the Jets is more... I feel like maybe there's some variance here. I feel like I have a pretty good idea of what the Dolphins are going to be this year. I feel like I have a pretty good idea of what the Chiefs are going to be, what the Ravens are going to be. I think the variance of what the Jets can be is wild.
Well, if we were looking at this like a horse race, you would have had the Bills for many years right behind the Chiefs, right? Like, hey, they're right there. We're stalking the Chiefs. We're right there.
Yeah.
And now this year, it might feel a little bit more of, okay, I don't want to say we've dropped back, but there's another team that might feel closer. And this was probably true last year, and then four plays into the season, it ended.
Yes. Yep.
Because the Jets were supposed to be this last year. And Rodgers gets hurt, and the Jets win that game. But at no point did... Come on, please. You would have traded a Rodgers out for the year for the Jets beating the Bills in week one and felt pretty good about how you were going to finish against the Jets, and that was
right.
Fine.
Right. Did a Jet fan feel good that next day?
No. I thought their season was over.
Yeah.
Even though they won a game in overtime against the Bills.
It was over.
Yes.
That ended up being true, by the way.
It was very much over.
Yeah, week one did not lie to them. Week one was over. Yeah, no, it's them, though, because and it is part of it is, I guess, a little bit of, like, they are interesting because it's new. But I do want to see how does it work? How does it work? Are they going to be... All the talk of, like, are the Bills going to run the ball more? And the Dolphins were a team that ran the ball more last year. Are the Jets going to just be this air raid offense when they show up? Are they going to play to protect their quarterback's health? That's something that the Bengals have done in past years with Burrow, was he was coming off major injury, so what did they do? We're going to run the ball all the time to keep a little bit off his plate. And maybe that's a point about the Jets, too, is can they unleash everything they might want to right away at the start of the year and even in the first half of the year? Or will they play a little more timid and a little more run heavy, a little more old school because they don't want to expose their 40-year-old quarterback off an Achilles injury as much as the Bills would with Allen or the Chiefs would with Mahomes?
There's been the occasional camp highlight or preseason. He didn't play in the preseason, which is why maybe we don't see this. There's been the occasional camp highlight of Rodgers where people watch him run and think he does not look like he can run full speed.
Yeah.
Like he's not fully ready.
There was a video of him in minicamp where after a play, he sat down and looked at his ankle and then had a trainer look at it. He went back out. But
their roster build is very much like you just pointed out, like it is more air raid. They've got good to great receivers around Rodgers. They don't really feature the tight end at all.
No.
Their number one tight end last year is Tyler Conklin. He didn't score a touchdown.
Right.
He had a bunch of catches, but didn't score a touchdown. Can you tell I have him on my fantasy team and clicked on his name yesterday?
How do you know that?
I clicked on his name yesterday.
He had 61 catches.
But no touchdowns. Yeah. So it's not a team that exactly funnel. And again, 61 catches, not with Rodgers. So we'll see how that changes for him. But Garrett Wilson, Mike Williams, and Malachi Corley. Is that their top three?
Yep.
That's pretty good. If Mike Williams stays healthy, that's really good. Anything with Garrett Wilson is, of course, going to be really good.
And I don't know if this could have been this could have just been their quarterbacks were so bad last year that the running back was going to get funneled this way, but Breece Hall had 95 targets last year. Again, you probably don't want your running back with a quarterback like that ever getting 95 targets, but he's very good in the pass game.
Yeah, he's...
So they got weapons. Their weapons are better than the Bills are. But are they going to use them that way? And is their line going to hold up to play that way? Like, I it's part of why my eye will be on them, because if they're right, I think that's your team. That is your team that you got to watch, that you've got to be worried about. But I'm just very, very skeptical that it's all going to come together for them with a 40-year-old.
Other answers? Who you should keep your eye on? Houston?
Whether the Bengals are just right back to form.
Houston, like Bengals, we expect. Chiefs.
Yeah, the Texans. Are the Texans going to be this juggernaut that looks unstoppable throughout the regular season? Of course, we always have an eye on the Chiefs. And if they
maybe
look,
not
and,
though,
are we at a point now where the regular season for them
doesn't matter
at all?
Right. I've been living for years about finally get Mahomes on the road.
Okay, so
and it happened, and he still won every single game he played on the road.
Thinking of the Chiefs, you know, my eye will be on them is the Chargers. Can you push them
at all?
Ever, please, Jim Harbaugh, come on, somebody, do it.
Are you positive the Chargers are the best team to push them? Is it not? Are the Broncos any chance here? If Bo Nix is just instantly good, for a moment consider that Bo Nix could show up and be, I don't want to say CJ Stroud, but CJ Stroud is not supposed to just show up and be good. And Bo Nix had a good preseason. I'm not falling in the Kenny Pickett trap.
Uh-huh.
Just simply pointing out that guy won that job.
I don't know.
Would it be crazy for them to be better than the Chargers?
It might be a lot. It might be a lot, especially to an extent. Like, could they be better than the Chargers? That might not be crazy, because I think the Chargers could be a very mediocre team, and could the Broncos just edge out another mediocre team? Like, that's not nuts. But could the Broncos be good enough to be better than the Chargers while also pushing the Chiefs? I don't know. I feel like it's a stretch. I know he looked good in the preseason, but isn't Bo Nix one of these guys where, like, hey, the tools are kind of limited,
maybe
a little bit? So, and what are they around him right now? They released Tim Patrick,
Cortland Sutton, Troy Franklin,
okay, Josh Reynolds, Marvin Mims. That's their room there. The defense isn't terrible. I mean, Peyton is. I don't know what to do with Peyton on this front. Like, he actually got Wilson to put up some good numbers last year.
Yeah, the Wilson resurrection kind of did happen.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, it did. They also beat some good teams. They beat the Bills. They beat the Chiefs. They beat the Packers last year. I don't know though. It's still. I think the Chiefs are probably gonna. I'm hoping the Chargers can do it. I guess there's an outside shot that it could be Denver. I don't think at all it could be the Raiders. But I'm expecting the Chiefs to just kind of cruise their division again. I feel like they could sleepwalk to it, which kind of that stinks. Nobody pushes them.
Yeah. 803-0550. Joe Marino coming up in 10 minutes. One big thing from yesterday that shook the fantasy football community.
Yes.
Kyren Williams will return punts.
Uh-huh. Also shook the Scott Fishbowl landscape, if you're familiar with that tournament, because
what percentage of people are just routinely familiar with that?
Probably like
1%?
70%. No, I'm just kidding. 20%.
20% of people know what the Scott Fishbowl fantasy world is.
All right, the Scott Fishbowl is like Fantasy Cares. It's this big national tournament that all the big fantasy people are in and all the proceeds. There's no big prize. All the money goes to like toys for kids at Christmas that can't get them. So that tournament that everybody's in counted for return yardage. So returners went high. Nobody picked Kyren Williams thinking he was going to be the Rams returner.
Okay, so it flipped things in the opposite direction.
In that league, it went the opposite direction. Okay. Every other fantasy league right now...
If you have Kyren Williams, you should be afraid.
Aren't you in panic mode right now?
Because last year, he was a stud. He was burst on the scene. He ate all the time. They gave him the ball all the time.
Yeah.
And now it feels like Blake Corum is going to be that guy.
I was going to say, you could also be a guy like me that drafted Blake Corum on Saturday and be very excited at the prospect that he's going to be their starting running back.
There are two pieces of running back news out of California-based teams. The other one is Elijah Mitchell on season-ending IR for the Niners.
Yes.
And Jordan Mason. If you'd spent the last week or so picking up Jordan Mason, who is Christian McCaffrey's backup,
yep,
you're feeling pretty good.
Yep. A.J. Dillon also went on season-ending IR.
Yeah.
The other guy there, though, there's a third-round rookie, Marshawn Lloyd, but he's also hurt, so I don't know if he'll take advantage of it. But Williams is the big one from yesterday because
returning punts.
He had 300 opportunities last year.
What's he going to get this year now? 150? Ooh. Half that? I mean, returning punts doesn't mean you're not a running back anymore.
Right.
Khalil Shakir returned punts for the Bills last year.
He'll get the 200.
Big part of their offense.
Well, are the Bills kind of alone on this? The Bills are a team, not even alone, but just the Bills are a team where they don't like to put that on other starters, right? Like they don't want their punt returner or their kick returner doing all these other things. But not every team is like that. The Dolphins have Tyreek Hill return punts or kicks a lot. And do they take anything off his plate when he does that?
So
no.
Why isn't Sean McVay just doing that?
That's what I'm wondering. Like maybe McVay is thinking he's going to be my punt returner, and what do you mean he's going to get less? He's not going to get less carries.
Maybe he's just the best.
I'm going to put him out there as often as I do all the time. He's going to return. He's going to return three punts a game, and
if that,
the two of them are going to be fair catches. What do I care if he's the punt returner?
Right.
I wonder if that's how he thinks about it. Again, the Bills, I feel like, don't treat punt returner that way, but maybe McVay is like, it's not that big a deal. He's Mike. I guess the Bills too, though. Like, Micah Hyde was their punt returner for a time. Mm-hmm. And did he play less snaps on defense when he was the punt returner?
No. But he's never had it as a... How long did he have the job? Didn't Micah Hyde go in when somebody was hurt or unavailable?
Didn't he have it for like a month, maybe?
Maybe.
At one point?
Which is pressed into, we need you to do this because Isaiah McKenzie dropped a couple. Or fumbled one.
That is, I think like, that's how
McKenzie
that happened.
Was
I think
their,
that's how that happened.
McKenzie was occasionally their kick and punt guy, and... It never felt like that diminished his role in the offense. His role in the offense was somewhat diminished to begin with.
Right, right.
So we'll see. The one thing about punt return versus kick return, we still don't really know how all these teams are going to feature their kick return. And here are the Bills making a trade for a kick returner.
Yeah.
Does this guy get the job day one? It is really wild to think about training camp and reps and all this. And you've got, you know, how important is training camp? How important is the preceason in training camp when CeeDee Lamb cannot participate at all and show up and they're like, he'll be fine. And then you can trade for a guy that's never played a snap for you. Be like, this guy's our number one kick returner now. Like, you know, you still have a week and a half to get guys in.
Maybe Mike White is probably going to be their backup quarterback week one.
Yeah. You can miss all of
camp. Are we that worried about it?
I guess.
You guess? You are?
No, I'm saying, okay. I guess don't be worried about any of it.
Okay.
Guys miss all of camp and they're fine.
Should we extend the preseason pledge to the training camp pledge?
We might.
Training camp doesn't really...
We should play the...
It matters for the starters and they're practicing their plays and they're getting stuff installed, right?
You should play the clip of McDermott talking about Tyrell Shavers being so consistent and raving about Tyrell Shavers like he didn't make the team. Practice squad, I guess.
Yeah. Justin, by the way, tweets and asking about Mike White and whether he's just on the team as intel for the Dolphins in week two anyway. In that context, training camp does matter because now I've hired a spy, basically after the fact, to find out everything that happened in Dolphins training camp and what all the secrecy, by the way, of, oh, we can't tell anybody what's going on in our training camps. And then you cut a guy and, like, the team that you were trying to prevent from getting the information, just, oh, yeah, we're just going to get a guy that was in every meeting the whole time.
One thing about the Dolphins and the Bills matchup, that's week two, Thursday night football. I just want to put this out there, and we'll revisit it when the time comes. The Dolphins use an endless amount of motion, right? It's a complicated offense to try and cover.
Yeah.
For a Bills defense that's lost a lot of its chief communicators, Poyer, Hyde, Milano, just that's a big challenge to undertake, to not get crossed up on who's where, who's doing what, how we cover this.
Right.
They present a lot of problems.
Because that team will... They'll burn,
emotion
they'll
you
burn
to death
you
and
it.
One false step. It's one thing the Bills have, you know, say what you will about Hyde and Poyer, and you thought they lost a step, but in the regular season, Tyreek Hill never got loose against them.
No. Nope.
And Jaylen Waddle did a couple times.
He did one time when it was Hamlin and Jaquan Johnson.
He also got
there.
Loose for a touchdown here in Buffalo.
Okay.
Waddle did.
You know, real quick, like that Dolphins matchup week two, do you know who got loose against them last year? It kind of got forgotten because it was within a blowout, but Achane got loose on them. In both games, he had big runs.
And they abandoned the run.
Against the Bills. But right, they weren't running the ball because they were down by 30.
Yeah.
But that dude got loose on the Bills last year.
803-0550. On the 53-man roster, Joe Marino, Lockdown Bills podcast, joins us next. We get his thoughts on where the Bills landed, the trade for the kick returner, the story at receiver, only fielding five as of right now, and, of course, Joe Andreessen as well. It's all coming up. Sal at 8, Joe Marino next.
Yeah, I don't know how I've done. Like I said, it's been a wild week compared to, like, the weeks before. I had a lot more stuff I had to take care of in my, like, personal life, per se. But yeah, it's just trying to find that balance with professionals at the end of the day. You know, like, what I had to deal with is probably nothing compared to a lot of household names. Yeah, hopefully there's more to come.
Bills linebacker Joe Andreessen, he made the 53. Of course, the 53 is still up for tweaks. Let's see if he sticks long term. Jeremy and Joe with you on a Wednesday morning. On Wednesdays at 7:30, with chat with Joe Marino of the Locked On Bills podcast on Twitter at the Joe Marino. Joe, good morning. Happy the 53 is here kind of day.
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, I think that's a good way to distinguish it. The initial 53 is here, but, you know, it's fluid every day.
We have our surprises, right? They're not, I mean, big shocks, Daquan Hardy, Tyrell Shavers. I mean, when you look at how the whole process played out through training camp, through the preseason, sometimes it's about watching practice, sometimes it's about watching games, and sometimes it's about listening to the coaches, what they say. What are your takeaways?
Yeah, I think those are the big surprises, starting with Daquan Hardy. But the more I thought about it, I think this is what it comes down to. Sean McDermott told us that they drafted him to be a punt returner. And while he has a lot of upside as a punt returner, those reckless decisions that he made with the ball in the first two preseason games, I think were something that really bothered the team and led to them not only releasing Hardy, but making a trade for a different player to do that job. So I think that's what that one comes down to. I was pretty impressed with Hardy, the corner. I felt like whenever I was analyzing Hardy, it was corner tape. And evidently that wasn't enough for the Bills to let him kind of have that opportunity to develop while he handles punt return duties. As for Casey Tuhill, it's tough to reconcile that one, honestly. I feel like he's probably player 53 on the roster. If the Bills make one move today to add a player, I think that he might be the one that leaves. And you just kind of look at the journey. A guy that was kind of an underwhelming player at Washington, he comes to the Bills on a minimum-type contract, and then he's injured a ton during training camp and preseason. You kind of ask yourself, what's the resume? What did he do to validate this decision to keep him on the roster? And so part of me wonders if it has something to do with Quentin Morris, and that might be something you're thinking, well, Joe, what does it have to do with Quentin Morris? Well, I think Quentin Morris is going to try to play through a shoulder injury, and he's an important four-phase special teams player, and maybe they look at Casey Tuhill as a guy that can absorb those special teams duties and provide some value there. But Yeah, those were definitely the two surprises for me. Hardy not making it and Tuhill being here. But again, initial 53, we'll see what happens from here.
Yeah, it could be for Tuhill. If you wanted to read into it a certain way that maybe you're not, it's a fear about where they are at defensive end. But if you're saying like you think he's 53, then I don't want to make that leap about that position.
Yeah, I mean, I watched a lot of Casey Tuhill when the Bills signed him, and I thought he was a middling replacement level rotational defensive end. I certainly understand that. The idea that you want to have some hedges at defensive end, maybe you have some questions about, you know, your cast of characters there. But I personally find Kingsley Johnson to be a more attractive option than Casey Tuhill. But I think he's I just don't think much of him. I think he's a replacement level rotational player. So we'll see if he sticks.
Yeah. Then one thing I'm guessing you're not surprised by, because you told us weeks ago about what they did last year, Joe, was that the Bills only keeping five receivers. So when you saw that Tyrell Shavers was among the cuts, were you maybe not as surprised as some of us were?
Yeah, I've kind of been calibrating my expectations for them to roster only five receivers. And I think there could have been a place for a sixth guy if that sixth guy would have emerged. And I think that's what they tinkered with. They gave Tyrell Shavers that opportunity, and that didn't pan out. I mean, all the hype with Tyrell Shavers was driven from what the messaging was from press conferences and the facts that he was getting first-team reps in training camp. But what did he actually do, right? There was no real tangible production that you point to. They gave K.J. Hamler opportunities in that spot, and he drops passes and didn't show enough ability in the return game to be consistent there to make you think he should get the job. And you know, I think they gave Isabella some chances in practice. So I think they gave guys chances to win it. But if you're trying to put your best team together, it's. I just don't think they found a wide receiver six that they liked for that spot. And so I'm curious to see today as you kind of consider guys that were let go. I feel like there's a decent amount of receivers that could be attractive, and I'm sure the Bills would be an attractive spot for these receivers. So I think there could be some movement there. But I think five's the number they're comfortable with. As I've said, they rostered five all last season, and then even when they rostered six, one of those players was Andre Roberts, who was really yeah. just a returner. So I think five's a number that they're pretty comfortable with at wide receiver.
Yeah, and I wonder, you know, as you say, there could be some other options out there. I wonder if they would even do it. I mean, it appears that MVS is maybe, you know, somewhat tight with Josh. Mac Hollins is, in the words of the offensive coordinator, my favorite human ever. I think that was the quote he had during training camp. So there's our level of comfort with their receivers, and then there's how the Bills feel about it, and they might just think we are good here.
Yeah, I think I agree with you on that, Jeremy. I think where the Bills could be inspired to add somebody is if there was a level of concern with MVS and the neck injury and Curtis Samuel with the turf toe, right? I think if they don't do anything there, I think that would be a good sign of their comfort level there. And plus, I'm sure a lot of these guys, they'd like to get back on the practice squad. I'm sure they want Shavers back or Isabella or Hamler or maybe Deion Kane or Justin Short or like Xavier Johnson. All of these guys, they're going to get two or three of them back on the practice squad. So, you know, they'll have their guys they could call up, and it's kind of exactly what they did last year, bringing up Isabella sometimes. They brought up Gentry for a game, I think. So that's something that they've done, and I think we could see them do it again.
We've spent, obviously, a lot of time talking about these receivers. I am not really shocked to see the five that have made it. Joe and I made a bet during the offseason that there'd be these five, and I had Claypool, who's injured, and so his season ends there. It's funny though, Joe, like the way that the arc of the offseason goes, I'm not surprised based on a month ago or 2 months ago. If you'd taken me back 5 months, I might be kind of surprised with where they landed. And I wonder, as you get ready to watch this team go into the season, how your level of confidence in that group, how it sits. And of course, there's how it sits individually, then there's the context of the tight ends and the running backs and the quarterback himself. So on its own, and then as part of the offense, how does it sit with you?
Well, I think you do have to lump in Kincaid and Knox and some of the expectations for the running backs in the passing game as well to kind of get the entire picture of what they want this passing offense to be. And I think that's an important piece of this. And I think you just have two really different approaches in the NFL right now. You have what you're seeing teams like the 49ers and Texans and Dolphins do with just loading up on wide receiver talent and that being really important to them. And then you have teams like the Packers and the Bills and the Chiefs that are just kind of like a by committee approach. And I just named six really good offenses, right? But they're all that you get there just really different ways. And so I think the Bills are relying a lot on their quarterback, Josh Allen, to be able to distribute and execute and use, you know, not only his arm talent to make throws, but the dual threat nature that he brings to the table to be the catalyst for this offense. And so I think that's exciting to some extent. I think it's going to be really interesting to see how Josh functions without the idea of having to throw the ball to one receiver 150, 160 times, right? It's some of those unknowns make it interesting and exciting, but also makes it very concerning at the same time. So I think if I take this team from what I saw at camp when I was there for a week, I was very encouraged by how the passing game looked. Unfortunately, we didn't really get a chance to see any of it during preseason. So I think we're kind of left wondering, you know, exactly what the on-field execution is going to look like. But I think you can spin this however you want it to, and I guess we'll find out for real here very soon.
One other team, good offense, that does not have a lot. The Lions only have four receivers on their final 53. And Tim Patrick goes to their practice squad with the idea that maybe he can make their fifth spot. You know, Joe, as you break that down, how different will this all be for Allen? Does it ask him to be a different type of passer? Does it ask him to be a different type of quarterback? Whether that's, you know, we've been through several years here of his career arc. Is that being more mature, more on schedule, looking for explosive plays from more conservative passes? You know, sometimes it seems like he has to be, I don't know if it's talked into, not winging it down the field. Do you feel like the depth of target is going to be different this year than it has been in years past? All these changes, what kind of Allen does that aim to bring out?
Well, I think I look at the skill sets. That's what I do. I look at the skill sets that's available to him, and that probably helps me answer this question the best that I can. And I think, what do they have? I think they have middle-of-the-field targets in Kincaid and Shakir, that you would kind of expect to work that area of the field. And then they have guys on the perimeter that I think along the sidelines, you trust them to kind of win some leverage battles. And so I think what they're going to ask Josh to do is be willing to kind of put it in spots and trust guys to go make plays on the ball. And I think they'll certainly mix that in with some RPO and some quick separation stuff, some perimeter screens to kind of keep defenses playing a little bit looser so they can kind of allow that off coverage to dictate some of their free access, if you will, of where they can go with the football. But I think that it's going to lead to a maybe for Josh Allen, a more efficient player in terms of getting the ball out of his hands and into the hands of playmakers. And I think your explosive plays are going to come more from yards after catch and more on extended plays. I don't know that you're going to see a whole lot of shots down the field. I just don't know that they have those types of players that, you know, you expect can win foot races and get behind secondaries. I think they're going to get their explosive plays from Yak, you know, Josh Allen going off script, but then being able to throw balls into the perimeter that they trust guys to go make. I think they love that slot fade play, you know, where the guy runs from the slot and kind of works the sideline and kind of uses that space, trying to leverage the sideline a little bit and use that space to make some plays. So I think it's going to have a different look and feel. How Josh Allen fares in this is yet to be seen, but this is definitely a calculated choice in terms of the direction of the offense. You'd like to think Josh Allen was on board with kind of this mindset. And I guess I keep going back to this line. I guess we're going to find out soon enough.
I keep telling myself that. Like, I go back to when you used to say Josh Allen throws the ball to wide receivers. Like, he didn't really target Dawson Knox that much. He threw the ball to wide
receivers. My fault, Jeremy?
Well, it's part of what got me thinking, like, as you say, like, I've got my doubts about these receivers, but I also – I'm constantly reminding myself that this is a different style and a different build. You say slot fade, and I think that's where they're going to throw that to Keon Coleman all day, right? Like, that's going to be his route.
Well, they did it a lot with Khalil Shakir last year too, and I think that's kind of the forgotten thing about Khalil Shakir is he's got a lot of down the field talent, not necessarily like, you know, DeSean Jackson, you know, nine balls down the field, but that ability to work those deep ends and those slot fades, like he's very good at that too. So. I definitely was somebody who said often keep the cupboard full of wide receivers. Josh Allen likes throwing the ball to wide receivers. They've definitely made a pivot from that. So we're going to find out.
Joe Marino on the Western Hotline. On the reported Mike White signing to the practice squad, do you see him as just third string guy to get you through until Trubisky's healthy, or do you think he's someone that rates enough that could push for being their number two?
interesting choice to sign him to the practice squad because he can only be elevated three times. And I'm curious to see if the Bills sign a quarterback to the roster today and Mitch Trubisky winds up going on IR. I think there's a path for that to happen. So, yeah, I thought that was definitely pretty interesting. Maybe they want to just go ahead and get him locked in. It's fascinating to me. I think, obviously, he gives you a certain level of play, right? I don't think that much of him as a player, but as a depth quarterback, I think he's probably fine. But the real value probably comes from week two, Miami. You know, someone's got to run the Miami offense during the scout team, and I think Mike White would probably do a bang up job of that.
Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast. We'll talk again. It's a game week next week. Yeah. That's exciting. Will be the day before Chiefs Ravens and then into Arizona. Any early kind of thought on Arizona to give us before we go?
Yeah, Arizona can run the ball on offense. That's one thing you got to be mindful of. I don't think their defensive personnel is very good, but a defensive-minded coach that I'm sure will have a good game plan. But when you think Cardinals, that's a team that ran the ball last year well without Kyler Murray being really part of that. I think their offensive line's better, and so is their running back situation. So going to have to be ready to stop the run next week.
All right. Thanks, Joe. We'll talk next week.
All right, thanks, guys.
Joe Marino. You can follow him on Twitter at TheJoeMarino. Locked On Bills podcast, you know, subscribe through Odyssey, through wherever you get your podcast, the Locked On Bills podcast as well.
I think
803-0550. Got something coming up? I've got some stuff for you.
To wait for next week. I was just going to say, I think next week when we start talking more Cardinals, Bills fans are going to learn who Trey McBride is.
He's good.
Like, it's Kincaid and Laporta who are always mentioned as these are the next star tight ends. McBride needs to be mentioned in that sentence every time. He's great.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Next, I saw something about Mahomes yesterday that had me asking, what would I pay to get this little piece of information? What would it be worth to me to know this? We'll get to that next. Yesterday, Matt Walden and rookie scouting portfolio had something I thought was juicy. It's one of those things you could probably never know. Pointed out, though, that as the 53-man cuts were coming down, some real jokester, Jordan Lupe, mm-hmm. Patrick Mahomes expected to make the initial 53-man roster in Kansas City, per source, like, ha, ha, ha. And Waldman pointed out, I know one team's former coaching staff that took him off their list after a pre-draft visit because he didn't follow their hall monitor approach to reading the field. And I would just That's like amazing. To know, how much would I pay to know what coaching staff took Patrick Mahomes off their draft board? I'll say it a million times. Don't believe anything anybody ever tells you about what they thought about a draft until we see boards. I want to see a board that had Patrick Mahomes taken off it. That's what I want to see. Is that person on television now talking about the draft? Is that person
$100
an offensive coordinator somewhere? Patrick Mahomes off the draft board.
Are they on TV right now?
Right. Just want to know who that is.
Yeah. That'd be pretty juicy.
It's one thing to be wrong about a player and people remember it because you said it. Fine. You're wrong about stuff. This is someone anonymously walking around society.
Yeah.
Off the board.
Yeah.
Anyway. Sal Capaccio. Of course, he's been breaking down this 53. Who's going to make it? Who's not? We'll talk about the surprises and potential moves from here if there are any additions to be made. Joe Marino speculating maybe Casey Tuhill is the most likely to be bubbled off if someone comes in. Big day today for waivers. Bills tougher to get waivers because of waiver order. And then, of course, trades if they want that. And free agency, 803-0550. Sal coming up. And then let's get stupid at 8:30, courtesy of Tim Kirkjian and a grizzly bear.